He brought them through the Red Sea, carried them over a great water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whenever we come across the imagery of the Red Sea in the sacred liturgy, well, that's a reference, of course, to what? To the precious blood of our Lord. So it becomes, you might say, doubly appropriate. It stands for us passing through the suffering and the conflict of this life, as it says in another place, dry shod, that is to say, none the worse for wear for all of this suffering. O Almighty God of old delivered the Jews as they passed through the Red Sea, but the Egyptians were punished and put to death. So too now we, having passed through the Red Sea of baptism, our Lord's precious blood, we belong to him, and he saves us. That's an appropriate reference for tonight's Mass, because the popes in particular, whom we honor tonight, had something to say about baptism. Saint Victor declared, and he was the middle of the second century, he declared that in the case of emergency, any ordinary water, as you well know, may be used for baptism, and anyone at all in danger of death may administer that sacrament of baptism which is necessary for eternal life. Then Pope Saint Innocent, who lived just at the very end of the Roman Empire, before the fall of Rome, beginning of the 5th century was his death, he decreed that children, there was a dispute, and he said that children who are born to Christian mothers must still be baptized, because some thought that wouldn't be necessary. But he said, no, indeed, it would be necessary. But it's particularly the two children who stand out tonight. I thought to myself, what appropriate saints for the week that concludes our boys' camp, because they were both of them very young when they got their start for being saints. Saint Nazarius has the unusual distinction of having two feast days, 2 months in a row in the Roman Missal. And he was the son of a Christian mother, and this was just at the time of Saint Peter, when Saint Peter went to Rome, and his father was either a Jew or a pagan, but it didn't seem too much to oppose the idea. He was baptized by Pope Saint Linus, successor to Saint Peter, and at a very young age was seized by the Holy Ghost in the desire to dedicate his life to being a young missionary. And so off he went with his parents' blessing. He went from Rome first to Milan, and then outside of Milan, he's a little bit older now, he's a teenager, he meets a Christian woman who confides her son, also about 9 years old, and his name is Celsus, to Saint Nazarius as his disciple. And so he takes him and instructs him, and they travel together, and they have all sorts of adventures, and they go up through Switzerland to the Alps, and they convert the pagans living there and build little chapels, and then end up in France and Germany, and they suffer for the faith there, and finally go back down to Milan, where they had originally preached the faith together, and they suffered torture and then finally death. Then they were buried, and the interesting coda to the story is that 300 years later, the great Saint Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, discovers by divine revelation their graves. And he leads a party of workers to the garden where he knows them to be buried. Saint Nazarius's grave is opened, and he's found, fresh as the day he had been buried, beheaded, his head separate from his body, and there was a glass vial of blood, as you hear sometimes with the saints, a glass vial of blood, and the blood looked perfectly fresh as well. And he ordered that his relic should be taken to a great basilica that he was in the process of building and enshrined there, and Saint Celsus was taken to Rome, I believe, and his relics were enshrined there. But they were two boys. Imagine that, boys who became missionaries and martyrs for the faith in the very earliest age of Christianity. It's a wonderful story. And then there are these two popes, as they say, they were popes who had to do with baptism. Saint Victor declared as well that Easter should not be kept on the Jewish feast of the Passover, but should be kept separately, lest we be seen to be following the Jews in any sense. And then there was St. Innocent, and as I say, he saw the era of the fall of the Roman Empire, God finally punishing the Romans for all of their paganism and all of their superstition over many centuries. They lived a long time ago, but they, like we, passed through the Red Sea of the precious blood of our Lord in baptism. And again, the precious blood of our Lord, we pass through it tonight in the offering up of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. A good fervent prayer throughout the entire Mass, but especially the canon, would be just to repeat over and over again, precious blood of Jesus, save us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.